today as we come to the table.
Don't lose your reward. You're going to heaven. You've been chosen. What do you mean lose my reward? The Bible says that we can lose reward. The Bible talks about it. Paul says, don't let anyone take your crown. He's not talking about taking your salvation. Your crown is your reward. He's saying, don't let anyone deceive you into falling away from God, disobedience to God, choosing not to do what God has called you to do, and lose reward. Will you still be in heaven? Yeah. Will you have the same honors and privileges and rewards? Maybe not. Maybe I won't either.
If you jump into a competition and decide to bend the rules or find a sneaky loophole, you might just get disqualified from getting the prize. When you embrace a life of obedience and align yourself with the plan that God has in store for you, just know there's a wonderful reward waiting for you in heaven. So, what's the deal if you decide to stray from the path, cheat a little, or just go off and do your own thing instead of following God? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So, Pastor Mark has a little reminder for you today. Don't let that heavenly reward slip away. Your salvation is secure, but remember, not following God's ways can cost you some great prizes. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
We ended chapter 60 with, again, really exciting, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. It jumped into this, arise and shine, your time has come, here it is, we're going for it. And now we move on into chapter 61, jumping backwards some, if you will, quite a bit, actually 2,000 years ago, and prophesying about the day that the Lord would declare, I'm here, I'm your Messiah. You remember in Nazareth, the Lord had just started his ministry. It was at the very beginning of his ministry. He goes to Nazareth, and he walks into the synagogue, which it says was his custom to do, and he begins to read here this particular passage. And so he reads it, and when he's done reading it, he says, this has been fulfilled in your ears today. And I'll show you where he stopped, because it's interesting. Notice what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what the Lord was reading. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That is spiritual prisons, prisons of sin, if you will. And of course, you can make the application to literal prison, but I think it's more of a spiritual application first and foremost. And notice this, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I am here to proclaim, Jesus said, the acceptable year has come for the Messiah to come. And he stopped right there. And it's been 2,000 years since the end of that sentence till now. And there's a reason for that. He didn't read on because the rest of this applies to when he comes back the next time. So very interesting to see how it's broken up here. Now remember, the Lord didn't stop really in the middle of a verse, so much so as they didn't really have verses and chapters as God wrote the Bible. Man put those in later so that we could find our way around. So it wouldn't have been like to them, he stopped in the middle of verse 2. There wouldn't have been a verse 2, if you follow me. But for us, he stopped in the middle of verse 2, again, because this was the acceptable time. This is proclaiming what the Messiah would do when he came the first time. And now he had to stop here because when he comes back again, he's going to come back in judgment. Remember the first time he came as a lamb to be led to slaughter and to die for our sins. The next time he comes back, he's coming in judgment. He's coming as a lion roaring to take a vengeance against his enemies. And that's why you read the very next line as it jumps into the second coming right here, the word and, the day of the vengeance of our God. So that's that break. When he comes back, it'll be the great tribulation and then the total vengeance of the day that he comes back to bring final judgment. And then it goes on to what he's going to do in the millennial kingdom. He will comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. So he'll be ministering to the Jews and, of course, Gentiles that are saved as well. We will already be with him, the church. The rapture will have taken place. But you'll notice his focus here is on the Jew. Why is his focus on the Jew? Because the church has already been with him for 7 years. And so his focus here is on the Jews that he's coming back to rescue. And, of course, some of the Jews, obviously, that are saved will have been there. And notice they've just been through this horrible tribulation time. You talk about ashes. This really gives a new meaning to it. To give them beauty for ashes. They're going to be standing in an ash heap quite literally with most of the earth burned up and destroyed during the great tribulation and all these things taking place. The oil of joy for mourning. There's a lot of mourning going on those last years, but they're going to have the oil of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Again, he's going to trade. It's going to be like a trade-off. They have a spirit of heaviness because of all the persecution they've been through throughout their history and now in the great tribulation. He's going to trade that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. What a beautiful picture that is. But again, that's the literal application here. But I always like to use our literal interpretation. But as I've shared with you guys before, there's one interpretation but many applications when it comes to Scripture. And one of the applications I love right here, and I believe applies, because I've watched this bear fruit in my life. And that is, when you have a spirit of heaviness, praise wraps you in a garment that lifts it off of you. And I found this to be true. When I have that heaviness, when I have that depression, when I have that darkness or whatever it is, if I just get alone and begin to praise the Lord, it's like God wraps me in a garment of joy. He wraps me in a garment of praise and it lifts it. So I think that, again, there is the immediate meaning here, but I think there is an application. If you're in heaviness, if you're in sorrow, then worship the Lord. Let him wrap you in a garment of praise and lift that heaviness off of you. He'll do it. Notice he does this that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I find it interesting that he uses the terminology trees here, because again, when we get into the millennial kingdom and the Lord comes back, we're going to be living again for like 1,000 years. Now, we'll live forever. Okay, we have our new bodies, we'll never die. But mankind, those that go in as mortals, they haven't gotten their new bodies yet. They make it through the great tribulation, they go in, they're going to be living, some of them, for hundreds of years. How that's going to be reversed, how that's going to be protected, I don't know. It might be that that first wave of them will die sooner, probably, no doubt, because they've already absorbed all the radiation and all that goes with that. But then their children are going to grow up in a protected environment, because there's going to be children born during the great, not the great tribulation, but there will be, but during the millennial kingdom, children will be born. And so they're going to be in a world that's completely restored without all the radiation and ultraviolet rays and all the things that cause us to age and all that. So they're going to live like hundreds of years, even 1,000 years. I mean, again, the Bible talks about those that are born during the millennial kingdom. If they die at 100, they'll be considered cursed. So think about that. Of course, I guess if you look at it today with all the aches and pains we have, if you die at 100 now, that could be cursed, I guess, really, in a lot of ways, but for a different reason. And so, again, he says, and the reason that's interesting to me, he calls them like trees of righteousness. Trees live that way. Trees live hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, olive trees live thousands of years. If you go to the area of the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, some of those trees there, the roots go back like 1,800 years. Think about that. And so he says, you're going to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That God may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. So they're going to come back in. We're going to see as we get into this, Gentiles will come from all over the world, and they're going to rebuild all the cities of Israel. You're going to see all these things we read about in the Bible. They're going to be rebuilt. They're going to be there again. You see some of them being rebuilt today. Jerusalem is one example, and some of the ruined cities they're adding to and other places, but they're literally going to be rebuilt. What's it going to look like? We're going to see it the way that it looked, except I'm sure much grander, but we're going to see it the way it looked in the Lord's day. They'll come back, they're going to build everything, maybe even back in older, just over time, all the buildings, they're going to restore it. And I don't know if they'll build every building, but notice this, they'll raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So we're going to see again, just like a whole history of Israel being rebuilt. It's going to be so fun to watch this. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. So you'll have other people that are there to serve you from all over the world, he's saying to the Jews. And your sons and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of God. It's interesting. He's going to allow the nation of Israel, they were supposed to be priests unto God. He's going to allow them, those that are eligible, and I'll explain why that said eligible in a moment. He's going to allow those that are eligible to be priests during the 1,000-year reign. Until the Lord, they're in the kingdom. Now, we'll all be kings and priests as his bride. But he's going to allow the Jews now as his wife, before us, his bride. He refers to Israel as his wife, refers to us as his bride. How that's all going to pan out, we'll find out. We'll still be one in some way, but there is a designation the Lord gives it. They're going to be priests unto the Lord. So it's going to be a privilege and an honor for them to do that. But it's interesting because if you go back in the Old Testament and you see where the priests were disobedient to the Lord, they were not obedient, not to the point where they didn't go to heaven. They still believed in the coming Messiah. They still made their sacrifices. They still made it to heaven. But God says, because you were not faithful to me as priests, you're going to lose your privilege and your reward to be priest to me in the coming kingdom. Isn't that interesting? So there's going to be priests from the past history of Israel that will be there in the millennial kingdom. We will see them, but they will lose their rights and their privileges to be close to the Lord on the Temple Mount, ministering to him for that 1,000 years because they weren't faithful. Now, herein lies a warning for us. Mark, that's great history, but what does that mean for me? Don't lose your reward. You're going to heaven. You've been chosen. What do you mean lose my reward? The Bible says that we can lose reward. The Bible talks about it. Paul says, don't let anyone take your crown. He's not talking about taking your salvation. Your crown is your reward. He's saying, don't let anyone deceive you into falling away from God, disobedience to God, choosing not to do what God has called you to do, and lose reward. Will you still be in heaven? Yeah. Will you have the same honors and privileges and rewards? Maybe not. Maybe I won't either. So we want to hang on to what we have. This is what's so heartbreaking about those that fall away and backslide. How much reward is lost? Only God knows. Or those maybe who hear the call of God and just say, I'm not going to do it. Lost reward. Not a lost soul, just reward. I can already hear you. Well, I don't care. As long as I get in, that's all that matters. I used to say that too. But the older I've grown in the Lord, I keep reading all through the Bible where God says, desire reward. God tells me to desire it, not in a covetous way, not in a selfish way, like I've got more than you, God, I've got more. Not going to have that. But he even says this. He says, you guys are supposed to provoke me to jealousy. I want to do that. Well, how come I can't get that reward? I want to serve like that. I want to serve regular. How come they're serving regular? It's a good thing, not in a bad way. Don't get me wrong. But we're supposed to provoke each other to jealousy. Why? So that we'll serve more. And what's the purpose? More reward. God is coming up with excuses to give us reward. Who in here deserves any reward? Nobody. I mean, you might think you do, but if you do, there's still a lot of growth to go. You'll figure it out. You don't deserve anything. The Lord talked, he said to his servants, you are unprofitable. He called his servants, until you realize that you're unprofitable servants. He said, when you come in the house, you don't get served first. You serve the master. Why? Because you're unprofitable servants. He wasn't name calling. He wasn't being mean. He was saying the essence of it, of the teaching is there isn't really any reward that you deserve as simply a servant in the home. But because you're my servant, I'm going to reward you richly. Now I'm going to look for ways to do it. So give me an excuse. Just come on, do something. There's so many things I want to give you and I want to do, but if you don't get going, I can't. And so I read that now and I go, you know what, Lord, I don't want to lose my place of something that would be in the kingdom. I think about these priests when they get there, and these guys are going to be serving. But I think about the others it talks about in the Old Testament that aren't going to be allowed to serve, but they're going to be in the kingdom and they're going to see their brothers serving and they're going to remember when they used to serve. And they're like, man. Now, I'm not saying people are going to be sad, you know, or frustrated or angry or whatever in heaven. We're all going to be filled with joy. I get that. Well, this isn't really heaven, the millennial kingdom, pre-heaven, if you will, but anywhere Jesus is heaven. But I don't want to be there going, man, you know, I wish I could have. And because I chose to fill in the blank, now I can't. And so just hang on to it. As Paul said, don't let anybody take your crown. They shall call you the servants of God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Now, again, whenever it speaks of double in Scripture, it's magnified. Not just double, but like magnified. In other words, for all the suffering you've gone through as believers throughout the history, it's going to be like way more the Jews are going to get. By the way, as we read this in 61, and then we go on to 62 and et cetera, you're going to see God talking specifically to the Jews and the nation of Israel. It still just blows my mind that people think that God's done with them. You have to ignore the Bible completely to think that God is done with them. He says, no, you're going to have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. No more sorrow, but everlasting joy. And of course, this applies to us as well. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. and I'll make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. So finally, the world will go, these are God's chosen. No more denying of the world saying, you know, that God hates the Jews. No more denying of parts of the church saying that God's done. The world and the church will be saying, nope, that's God's people. There they are. You know, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. What a beautiful picture. Garments of salvation, being clothed with that. I love it. What a picture that is. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Again, now you see where Paul talks about, you know, in the New Testament, how we're to put on the full armor, and he uses all this imagery. You know, we think about it as the Roman soldier, and indeed there is an application to the Roman soldier, because he was no doubt looking at a Roman soldier going, hey, put on the breastplate of righteousness, you know, and all the different parts, the sword, you know, all these things he was saying. But here he's talking about the Lord. He got it really from the Lord. The Lord is covered in all this. The Lord has a garment of salvation. He brings salvation with him. The Lord has a robe of righteousness. He's wrapped in righteousness. Everything about him is righteous. As a bridegroom, notice he talks about the beauty of the Lord here, how he's adorned, and how the nation of Israel will be adorned. Look at this. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Think about the wedding day. And again, think about a royal wedding day. Okay, we're talking about ornaments and jewels again. It's the picture here, which we are royalty unto God. And now he talks about it the same way that the earth puts on its jewelry. Look at this, verse 11. For as the earth brings forth in bud, its bud, and the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness to and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So during that 1,000 years, they'll just be glorified and have everything God intended for them to have, and they lost it because of their rebellion to God. So that warning of rewards. Chapter 62, he says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. That is, for the nation of Israel, I'm not going to stop. I love it. He's committed. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. God is committed to finish his work with Israel. He's committed to do it. And remember, Daniel says he has another 7-year period. There's a 7-year period that God has that has not been fulfilled yet prophetically for the nation. It's on hold until the Antichrist shows up. And then that's going to kick in. The clock's going to begin to tick down. But he says, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to, this is going to happen. I'm not going to rest until it happens. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and the kings, all the kings, your glory. That is your glory, not theirs. They'll see your glory. I love this. You shall be called by a new name. You know, the Bible says God has given all of us a new name. You know, I wonder what our new name is. I mean, I hope mine's something nice and not something just, you know, like Pondo or something. I mean, I hope it's something like, you know, that has meaning, you know, and something that, whatever. But we all have a new name. He says, and this is, get this is so sweet, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Remember, look at Peter, he looked at Simon, and he said, you're Peter. You're going to be a rock. He didn't say you're going to be, but he kept that part in, but he knew he was going to be. He said, you're Peter, you know. One day he knew he'd be a rock. And so the Lord gave names, you know, to us. He's going to look at you one day and say, you're so-and-so. It's almost like we get to heaven, the Lord will say, here's who you are. Really? Yeah, you were that the whole time. You just had a lot of work and development, Mark, to get there, you know. My name means hammer. Mark means hammer. And I look at it and go, you know, hopefully by the time I get there, it'll be more like carpenter. Because I have beaten some of you to death, and I apologize for that. Over the years, whether maybe handling something wrong in a counseling time, or maybe during a teaching, or maybe in a situation, and I can't take those things back. Probably not any of you, or you wouldn't be here, but over the years, those that I've unwillingly hurt and look back and say, yeah, I was a hammer. I don't want to be a hammer anymore. I want to have the skill of a carpenter. I want it to be precision and smooth. Well sanded and rounded. Now, I'm not going to be there, I don't think, until the kingdom, but that's my desire. And I don't know if any of those things, those names will be transferred into something like that, but he's got a name for you. It's going to be a name. You've got your nickname from God, and he knows you. He's got your number. He's going to sum you up beautifully. And it's going to be who you're going to be in the kingdom. I can't wait. You'll be called by a new name. You know, if you think that tonight, I've got such a temper. You won't. I'm so harsh. You won't be harsh. I'm just not loving. You'll be loving. I'm not kind. You'll be the kindest one there, probably. You'll have a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory. Well, think about it. You're going to be a crown of glory. He's talking to Israel, but again, I believe there is an application to us. He says, in the hand of the Lord and the royal diadem, in the hand of your God. So when God takes us, that's what we become. Notice this. You shall no longer be termed forsaken. Israel's been forsaken. People see them as forsaken. They think of themselves as forsaken. He says, you shall no longer be forsaken. This is God's promise to the nation. Nor shall your land be any more termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. Hephzibah means my daughter, or rather my delight is in her. So he says, my delight will be back in the land. And Beulah means married. You're going to be married again. Remember we talked about God had to put them away temporarily because of their rebellion. But he said, I'm going to take you back. And you'll be married again. I'm going to marry you, and you're not going to be left as a widow. Hephzibah, that's kind of a nice name. I don't know how that would work, but I don't know any Hephzibahs or Beulahs, actually. Maybe there are Beulahs, but I don't think it's spelled that way. Anyway, he says, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. So not just you, but your land. I'm going to retake the land as my own. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. You know, again, this may be hard for a bride, you ladies in here to grasp. Again, I'm sure you ladies also rejoice over your bridegroom. I'm sure you do when you love them and you want to get married. But I can tell you from a man's perspective, we rejoice over our bride. We can't wait. We're so excited. You know, just beautiful. You look at your beautiful bride, you know. And you're just excited. I think about the way I felt, you know, when Tracy and I got married. You know, I think, and then I read this where God says, that's how I'm going to be about you. Really? Yeah. You're that excited about me? Yeah. Well, you obviously don't know me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know you. I know you. And I've given you a new name. You know, God knew what he was getting when he called us. It wasn't like anybody in here slipped in. You know, you got in under the radar. The Bible says he knew what you were. He knew. He chose you as you were, and he's brought you to himself. So don't ever think there was a mistake made. And it's just, again, he's going to rejoice over you. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your son shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so the Lord shall rejoice over you. I've set a watchman on the walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. In other words, if you know the Lord, be vocal about it. And notice it says, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. In other words, don't give God a break until he sends peace to Jerusalem. What did he say? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He's saying, don't give me rest. Continue to cry out. I was reading that today going, Lord, bless Israel. Let your peace be on Jerusalem. You know, he says, keep on doing it. Keep on praying because it's going to happen. And he says, don't give me rest. Don't let up. I'm going to do it. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies. In other words, they'd be taken over by their enemies and they'd come and just take everything they had. He says, that's not going to happen anymore. You'll get to keep what's yours. And the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. And so we talk about that, what's that's going to be like when we drink of the heavenly wine with the Lord in the holy courts. You know, who knows what that's going to be like? An amazing. Amazing time. And the Lord, right now, if you remember, he said, I'm not going to drink it again till you're with me. I love you so much. I'm rejoicing over you. Hey, Lord, you're the King of all glory. We're in the angels in heaven and this glorious and here it is. Yeah. What? Nope, I'm waiting. And I'm not saying anybody's tempting the Lord in heaven. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to give you an analogy of how much he loves you and how he's waiting. He's waiting on you.
Thank you for tuning in as we come to the table. We're a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark has been continuing his series verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. In the first section of this book, we've seen warnings about what will happen to Israel if the nation fails to turn back to God. While in the second half, we catch a glimpse of how there is hope of a new creation even after destruction and exile. But scattered throughout the entire book of Isaiah are prophecies about the Messiah. God's servant is going to be sent to earth to restore mankind's relationship with God and expand the covenant made with the nation of Israel to the entire world. We know that Jesus is that very Messiah prophesied in the book of Isaiah. And you and I are proof that his death and resurrection made it possible for anyone who calls on his name to be part of God's eternal family. If you'd like to learn more about what it's like to live in community with other members of God's family, we'd love to invite you to an in-person service at Calvary Knoxville. To find out service times, just visit us online at thewaymedia.net and click on the Calvary Knoxville button to be redirected to the church website. You'll also find resources like past messages from Pastor Mark and a broadcasting schedule so you can learn about the other broadcasts we offer to help you grow stronger in your walk with Christ. This world is difficult to traverse on your own, but we hope these simple resources can help you gain confidence as you follow Christ. Tune in next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.